Jesus fucks.
Get ready for the miracle of Mega, a comedy podcast from the staff of a fictional mega church.
And not only does he fuck, but he's the best at it.
I'm Holly Loren.
And I'm Greg Hess.
Our characters, Hallie and Gray, welcome a new guest each week, played by some of the biggest names in comedy and podcasting.
Like Scott Aukerman, Lauren Lapkus, Paul Scheer, Jason Mantzoukas, Cecily Strong, and Duncan Trussell.
I just love to think about that, the light shining down on all those corpses in the water and Noah just going by and maybe a mom being like, please, we're running out of energy. Can you please let us on the boat?
It's completely improvised and it's devilishly funny.
Is there any question you have for us about, you know, what it means to live a life in Christ?
I guess, how much do you think is bullshit?
There's a new episode every Sunday.
Listen and subscribe to Mega, wherever you get your podcasts.
Best I ever had. Best I... Y'all can do it. Y'all can do it. Y'all sing along. You know what I'm saying? Here go. Jesus, you the best.
Jesus, you're the best.
You to be the best.
Jesus, you're
Jesus,
the best.
You the best. Okay, never mind.
Best I ever had. Best wow. I ever had.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. The Daily Show podcast has everything you need to stay on top of today's news and pop culture. You get hilarious, satirical takes on entertainment, politics, sports, and more from Jon and the team of correspondents and contributors. The podcast also has content you can't get anywhere else, like extended interviews and a roundup of the weekly headlines. Listen to The Daily Show, Ears Edition, wherever you get your podcasts.
Coming to you live from the Ray Horseman Studio in North Hollywood, California, it's Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone, your comedy field guide to life. Tonight, colds. You catch a cold. You give a cold. You catch a cold. You give a cold. Is there a way to break the cycle of generosity? Board-certified allergist Dr. Mark Meth is here to talk about managing the common cold. Plus, Paula visits the DMV, and we open up the listener mailbag to catch your bouquets and brickbats. We have a three Kleenex show coming up for you people. I'm Adam Felber, the man who tries to keep us moving from topic A to topic B in a straight line of conversational contagion. And now, please welcome the woman for whom there is no handkerchief large enough to catch the spray of her topical sputum, Paula Poundstone!
It's very rare that there's a nice introduction with the word sputum in it.
But there it is. Welcome, Paula Poundstone, very and thank you flattered. To tonight's house band. Steve Solomon is back. Returning champion Steve Solomon. He's a songwriter and event pianist. He has written hundreds of songs and performed at over 2,500 events. Steve, so good to have you here on the show.
So great to be back.
Thanks, Steve. That was great. I have to tell you something right away.
Okay.
On my way in tonight over at Roger Federer's, the appliance store.
It's not Roger Federer's. It's
it
an
is.
Appliance store called Federer.
It's Roger Federer's
Unless Roger
store.
Federer is a man who fetters, there is no relation.
No. It's Roger Federer's appliance store.
Okay.
And it's his backup in case something goes wrong because you can get injured.
In tennis?
Playing tennis. Oh, yeah.
I think he could own 1,000 appliance stores and not earn what he earned last year alone.
Right. But there's got to be a fallback. You know what I mean? These guys have big, expensive houses.
We've been over this, and I'm still not buying it.
Yeah. Well, I'm telling you, it's Roger Federer's appliance store over there, but that's not what I mean. What I have to tell you is I saw the K-pop band Super M over there.
You did not.
I did, too. Yeah, the guy with the pink hair and the blue hair.
K-pop band, Super M.
Oh, my God, it was so exciting.
They were over at Fetters?
Yeah.
What were they doing?
Well, they were getting a deal on...
Because even K-pop stars need affordable appliances.
Yeah, everybody, they got like a big fancy-ass trailer, and you got a little mini fridge in there. And
your version of Miranda Street is so much more pleasant and interesting than the one that I walked down.
You know what, though? It's almost in disguise, this section. You know, there's the set decoration of trash and junk.
And discarded appliances.
And drug deals. But then at the same time, there's Roger Federer's and then K-pop. And Dame Maggie Smith was out there for the longest time.
She wasn't.
She was waiting to do our show.
Which
and then,
didn't
you know,
happen.
How that went. But oh my God, I was so excited.
You live a rich life, Paula Poundstone. And
I have
heard
a theory.
That, yes.
That they may have come here in part to get, because they didn't leave. Like, I saw them with the two-wheeler.
You never reached the end of that previous sentence.
I saw them with the two-wheeler getting the refrigerator out of there.
Two-wheeler.
A hand cart. Get the refrigerator out of
there. Never
heard
it called a two-wheeler, but
yeah,
okay.
It's a two-wheeler. Well, you know why it's called that, Adam?
Because it has two wheels, Paula?
Precisely. Okay. That's right. I think, and this is just a theory, and I don't want to, you know, toot my own horn here.
I might go with crackpot theory, but go ahead.
No, I think they're here to maybe eavesdrop on my vocabulary song that I do.
Okay, we're going to get to that in a minute. But if any K-pop band out there wants to try to do a version of Paula's vocabulary song that is not Paula's, I, for one, will be grateful.
Yeah. You know what? I would be grateful. You know, these guys did that chopping song and the Too Fast song, and I think they're kind of looking for some, you know.
Like to enhance people's English vocabulary.
Precisely. Song. Yeah.
Okay. Hey, I understand that your rich life also involved a recent visit to the DMV.
It did. I had to renew my license.
I did that recently, too.
I went just a couple days before it had to be renewed.
Okay.
And I went it opens at 8, and so I went at 7.
Wow.
And I was the first person in line.
I would think.
Yeah. But the line, you're not the first person for very long, let me tell you. The line begins to form, and then, so there was, I don't know, maybe.
But you're still the first person.
I was the first person.
You're saying
person.
You're not the only person for long.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, you're always the first. I see what you're saying.
Yeah, nobody cut in front of you.
No. Okay. The bastards, let them try. So I was waiting in line, and then there's about, 10, 20 people there, and okay. Some...
You've really set the scene. You're painting a picture with words.
It's not time for it to be open yet, but some of the employees were there, and they opened the doors, and they're like, get back, we're not open yet. And then one of the guys comes out, and he says, whose Toyota is that over there? And I can never...
You drive a Toyota.
Do I? See, yes. I can never remember.
Yeah.
I can never
you
remember.
You drive like a hatchback Prius, but no.
Well,
like
I can never remember if it's a Honda stuff. Or a Toyota. I can never remember.
No, it's definitely a Toyota.
And so...
With a student driver sticker on it.
And he said it was red. It was a red one. And I'm like, I don't know.
You drive a red Toyota.
Yeah. And I said to him, I go, well, which one? Where is it? And he points over... Uh-huh. To this car. And I go, well, no, that's not mine. And I go, but why? And he said, you don't see what's wrong with that? And I, like, really angry. And I go, no, I don't. He goes, you're here to get a driver's license and you don't see what's wrong with that?
Oh, boy.
And I said, no, I don't. And then I kind of stepped away to indicate my disinterest.
Right.
And he was very angry. A lot of people in the line had no idea what was wrong. And he goes,
what was
that? That is messed up. It was parked in reverse. It was parked backwards.
What do you mean backwards?
It was backed in parking instead of head in parking.
Why is that bad?
Well, that's what I... You have a driver's license and you're asking that question.
That's so...
It's like 7:20 in the morning. We're right. All really tired and groggy.
Sure.
And he's like sticking it to all these people who've done nothing wrong.
Except fail to notice that you shouldn't back into a parking spot?
Yes. He said because it's one way... As you go up that aisle, it's one way,
okay.
Which means that someone had to have gone the wrong way, according to him, in order to get the car in.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Or else they just
messed up.
Or else they just pulled straight through if it's a doubly thing.
No, it wasn't. It was against the wall. So,
oh, okay.
No, they couldn't have.
Oh, so somebody, that's messed up.
Yeah.
That's messed up, Paula.
Yeah, the guy
that's
was so
fucked
upset.
Up.
You know, you wonder, do people like, I mean, I think about the podcast all week.
I'm barely thinking about it now.
Really?
Yeah.
Because I'm very involved in my work. But
I know you
are. I can't
are.
Imagine being a guy who works at the DMV and just living your life pissed that people back in parking in a, you know, it's not like there was anybody at risk. You know, it was 7:20 in the morning. The place doesn't even open until 8.
What?
It's back in parking.
What were you doing getting there an hour early?
I just like to revel in being the first in line.
I got to say, like, the last time I went to get my driver's license renewed, which was only about 2 months ago,
yeah.
I spent less than an hour at the DMV total.
Yeah. Yeah, I spent
But you spent an hour
I
plus
was there
because
for
you
two
were
months
waiting for an hour.
Waiting.
Two months?
I remember seeing you.
Okay. I think we go to different DMVs.
Yeah. I go to the busy one.
Okay.
It's the busiest place in Santa Monica. That's what that guy told me.
The
that was
busiest the other, place in Santa
yeah,
Monica?
Yeah, when he softened a little bit after he stopped yelling at me for not knowing what was wrong.
I'm amazed that you got your
like,
license.
I pitched ideas to him.
Yes.
I should have said, is it something to do with the glove compartment? Is it that?
You should play 20 questions with a raving maniac in front of the DMV.
Yeah, yeah. And he's just a security guy. It's not like he's even in charge of anything.
Well, he might be dreaming of a promotion someday. Yeah. You got to know your shit.
He's showing. And he goes, and you can't see me right now, can you?
Because I blend in.
I know, because I didn't, you know, I did pass the vision test. But it was in part because while the lady was messing around with my papers, I was studying.
You know, I've done so that in
then
the
when they said, then when they said, put one hand over, you know, one eye, I'm like, I feel confident in doing that.
Yeah, I've been told, sir, you are going to have to open at least one eye to do this. I'm like, no, I got this. Now, Paul, I want to shift gears a little bit.
You know what I did? I spelled the letters.
I guess I won't, though.
I spelled the letters into her hands. I was just showing that I'm perfectly functional. Even without sight, I can still function.
Speaking about the way you function.
Are we? I just want to say right now.
Yeah.
This show is.
You are deaf to a segue.
This show is awards eligible. Let me just. That hasn't been said.
It is awards season.
And I just want to say it's awards eligible.
Yeah. I don't know that there are a lot of podcast awards. I think there's probably the Potties.
The Potties.
I'm sure there's the Potties. The unfortunately named Potties. I'm sure they exist. Tony Anita Hall just nodded.
Are there Potties, Tony Anita Hall?
There are Potties.
Are they called the Potties?
That's so sad.
I bet they are.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah. And people always have to go, Potties, Potties. Right.
I'm going to get to this segue. And now you're coughing.
Sorry.
You know, it's all right. No, you have a cough. It's a good thing we have Dr. Meth here.
I have a cough. I'm a little Flemish now. But
before that, you were Walloon.
Yeah, I have a...
Thank you, listeners. You can all write in about how much you enjoyed that joke.
Where's Walloon? Is that a place? Is it
Walloons
Welsh?
And Flemish are the two principal ethnic groups in Belgium.
I can't even believe you backed up to say that. Like, everybody didn't fucking know that.
I'm so sorry.
The Walloons
I
and the...
I apologize for insulting all your intelligence
the Walloons
there.
And the Flemish. Jesus.
Flanders. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm beside myself. That's like, you know, just going over the ABCs.
Yeah.
Like, when you get pulled over for drunk driving, do they say, go over the ethnic groups?
I have to name all the principal ethnic groups of Northern Europe when I get pulled over.
Yeah, that's great.
That's generally how it happens. Yeah. But I live in Valley Village.
What does that mean?
That's a very, very cultured police force.
Valley Village doesn't even sound real.
I know it doesn't.
You were pulled over by a marionette.
Yes. Officer Friendly, the marionette.
Oh, hello there.
He was kind of clickety clackety.
Now let's review the ethnic groups of Europe.
All right. Hey, Paula, you got a word for us this week?
I do have a word. It is.
That's how I'm going to do segues from now on. I just spring them on you before you can interrupt me.
Well, it worked.
Yeah.
Yeah. Opsimath. Opsimath. It's a noun.
I don't know that word.
Oh, wait a minute.
I don't.
You act like that's so surprising.
It's infrequent.
Bullshit. Opsimath is a noun. It means a person who begins or continues to study or learn late in life.
Like you.
Well, I like to feel that it's not late in life.
Okay.
But thank you.
Is Opsimath like really like elderly?
Adam, answer the phone.
What? No, I don't want to answer the phone.
Adam, answer the phone.
No, I'm not answering
Adam,
the phone anymore.
Ahead. Answer the phone.
Oh, God damn it. Hello?
Hey, Adam, it's me, Mike Bum Bum Bonfit, man.
Mike,
she's
why are you
so
calling?
Fucking old. I don't know how you work with that girl.
I'm not saying she's
Jesus.
Old.
Is she like, I've never seen her. Is this kid like all creepy and shit?
No, she looks fine, Mike.
No, she'd be lucky to be a goddamn Opsimath.
Opsimath?
Yeah.
Mike, do you know the word Opsimath?
Well, I just learned it now. Listen to the show, yeah.
How can you be listening to the show? We pre-tape it.
What do you mean pre-tape it? What do you
we're
mean
not
pre-tape
a live broadcast. How are you calling in?
I'm calling in on the phone, Adam. I'm on the phone. Hey, Adam, let me ask you something. That old bag, don't even...
Mike, just stop that. Paula's a good friend of mine.
No, man.
I might have misinterpreted how late in life Opsimath was about.
Creepy.
But...
Yeah, no, she's like in the last percentage. I think we can say that.
No,
she's had pretty much a full pie at this point.
What are you talking
she's
about,
down
Mike?
Down to the last waning bites.
Mike,
if you want her to leave you anything, you better get it now, guys.
Jesus Christ, Mike, cut it out.
Man. No, she is. I seen her once, like from a distance, and she's right. like all bent over and shit.
She was probably coughing.
She was coughing. Yeah.
Mike, I'm gonna
right,
have to ask
right
you
my
to,
goddamn face
to go, Mike. I don't want to talk to you.
Adam, I gotta ask you something, Matt. I gotta ask you something. It's what? Good to talk to you again.
I'm not really.
What'd you do over the weekend, Adam?
Over the weekend?
Yeah. What'd you do over the weekend, Matt?
I hung out with my kids. I saw
hung
a movie.
Out with your kids.
Yeah.
Saw a movie. Oh, that's yeah. great. Yeah. I went to the game.
What game, Mike?
I was, you know, a football game, man. It was a beautiful weekend for tailgating.
What football game did you go to, Mike?
You know, the one with the two teams.
Which two teams, Mike?
Same outfits, throwing the ball and knocking each other down. Mike. I fucking love that. I know I love that, when they knock each other down. I go, it's mad. Let me get in there. Let me get in there. Sometimes, I mean, I'm just there, like, as a fan. But right. sometimes they have to hold me back, man. I'm like, no, man. I'm a backbencher. I'm coming on. That's
no, you're not, Mike. You never are.
Sometimes when a fight breaks
you
out,
weren't even
shit.
At a football game, Mike.
It was a beautiful weekend for tailgating.
What Adam. Teams, Mike?
It was a tailgating. What do you mean? I didn't. Yeah. You ever tailgated, Adam?
No, never, Mike. That's not my thing.
Well, it's not your thing. What do you mean?
I don't see any reason to have a party in a parking lot outside of a game I'm not interested in seeing.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Tailgating?
Yeah. What did you think it was, Mike?
I was driving really close to the guy in front of me.
No, that's not a tailgate. I mean, yeah, but that's not a tailgate party.
It's a beautiful weekend for tailgate, man. Guy, Mike, every time he, like, hit his brakes and I, like, lean out my horn, I was hoping to just get out and do some fucking damage, you know what I mean?
Yeah, Mike, if you were to hang up your phone right now, what would it look like?
Well, it'd be my, I just click on this red button, I guess.
Would you do that for a second?
No, because then we'd be disconnected. And what I like, Adam, is that with you, I feel connection. You know what I mean?
I feel no connection with you.
Really,
I really want
really
this to be over.
Connection was you got no connection with that girl, I gotta say.
What, Paula?
That woman, that old lady. That,
she's not
that
old.
Fucking bag that you work with. She's like a fucking shopping bag. With
now, you cut that out, Mike. That is inappropriate.
She's like a shopping bag that's full of old produce or something, you know? Does she smell?
Jesus Christ,
does
Mike.
Does she smell a little bit? Does she smell
no,
like
she's
some
got
sort
a very
talcum powder?
Demeanor.
Or perfume or
no,
something.
No, no, Mike.
I bet she tries to gussy herself up for you.
No, she doesn't, Mike. Just let's just end this right now.
Okay. Well, listen, I gotta see you this weekend at
nope.
the game.
No, I'm not gonna be there.
Yeah. Well, we'll hang out after the game.
We won't.
Maybe we'll tailgate.
Nope. Bye, Mike.
I see you, Adam. It's good talking to you, man. Good talking to you.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah, that guy really likes you.
Yeah,
Adam.
I know, Paula.
Yeah.
Still can't figure out how we managed to call.
You know, I'm going
to
use Opsimath in a sentence.
Okay.
Here it is. Paula Poundstone is not old enough to be an Opsimath.
Oh, you had that one in the shuttle. Okay.
That's a good one right yeah. there. You know, I try so hard to remember these
vocabulary words.
With limited success.
Yes.
I try to learn a word each week, and it's like I've written the words in my brain in dust.
Yeah.
If I so much as breathe, I forget them. So I've created, as you know, and as Super M, the K-pop band, it's probably around here trying to listen. I've created a vocabulary song to
now,
help
as
my
I've
memory.
Said, so many times, I'm afraid I'm going to bore our listeners, but I think creating a song with which to remember the words is a great idea.
Yeah, it is,
it's
isn't
a fantastic
it?
Fantastic
idea. Thanks a lot.
But you have to create.
And I'm not even that old.
No, you're not that old. I thought Opsimath was just like, you know, after you left school, you continue to learn. I didn't realize that you meant like really late in life.
I believe I said late in life.
Okay, well,
so
I
think
apologize.
When you're finished with school, that's late in life?
Later.
Yeah,
in
maybe
life.
In colonial times, oh, yes.
It's like a lot of people stop learning intentionally after they leave school.
No, it said late in life. Okay. It didn't say after you leave school.
Okay, wow. Jeez. Well, anyway, my point about the song is if the song doesn't have a replicable melody.
Yeah.
If you can't sing it twice the same way,
right.
It's not going to help you remember the words.
Yeah, that would be a problem.
Yeah.
But here's my song, and I think you'll find that's not its problem.
All right, let's
this
hear it.
This week's word is... Oh, wait a minute. Hold it.
Now you're taking out a ukulele.
Taking out... There we go!
That's a genuine chord on a ukulele. Yes, feel free to join in.
Ready?
You won't really be able to.
You will. I think you'll find you can easily... This week's word is opsimath. It's a noun that means a person who begins or continues to study or learn. Study or learn, study or learn, study or learn. Late in life. Not just when they're finished with school. Last week's word was magniloquent. It's an adjective that means lofty, pompous, or high flown. High flown, high flown. It's speech or style of expression. The week before that, the word was soporific. Sopor what? Soporific. It's an adjective that means tended to cause or causing sleep. Going back before that, the word was sesquipedalian. It's not alien. It's an adjective meaning measuring a foot and a half. It can also mean having many syllables, very long. How long? Very long. Sometimes it's used to mean given to using long words, which is funny because it's a long word. It's sesquipedalian to use sesquipedalian. Adam doesn't think my song is replicable, but I do, I do, I do. Thanks, that was an easy jam, wasn't it, Stephen?
Easy jam, Stephen.
Way too easy.
Yeah.
Wasn't too easy, he said.
No, he said it was way too easy. He said it was very catchy.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, I know you've written hundreds of songs, Stephen, and.
And that's not one of them.
Yeah.
He says he's written nothing like that.
Yeah.
I think that's probably true and probably for the best.
Look out the door, Tony. See if Super M is out there.
And if they have a gun. That was a nice rendition of a song, and completely unlike last week's rendition of the song.
No, it wasn't completely unlike.
Again, the only thing it has
Adam,
in common...
Adam, what you're not understanding is that the words change over time.
I do understand that.
I flow them through. As we get new words, I put them into the song.
Right.
So that's probably what you're responding to.
That's among the many things I'm responding to. But here's what... I have a better response.
You do?
We've reached out to our nobodies, our audience, with for some help with the vocabulary song.
Uh-huh.
And we've received some help.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yes. Alyssa Yeager sent in a terrific song, which I believe contains every single word to date.
Wow.
Let's hear it.
Gather round your kith and kin and listen to the sound of words you may have never heard. Their meaning I'll expound. If you're feeling licorice and dinner's running late, don't send inimical looks my way, or I won't fill your plate. Don't you be so obdurate, just tell me what you want. Do it viva voce and bring us a detente. Don't worry about an outre wish, I'll find a way to please. I'll truckle to your needs, although I won't get on my knees. I see you check your horologe and know it's getting later. You feel that words are nugatory, to them you won't cater. Lapsus linguae I expect from Uncle Joshua. He's famous for his solecisms, gaffes, and yes, faux pas. But this turpitude I see from you I cannot take. You've stolen every scrap of food since when do you peculate? Once your plan's chimerical, brought great entertainment, you'd bring a clack along to laud your soon-to-be attainment. It's not a calumny to claim I saw you, you're the thief. You crepitated while you ate the corn chips and dried beef. Our pantry was exiguous, with little there to share. I cast opprobrium on you for eating what was there. How could you cozen me this way? I feel like quite the dupe. I might wish a tyrotoxism on you from that cream-based soup. Don't think to stultify me and make me look the fool. Inchoate plans like yours are poor and maybe even cruel. Your pusillanimous actions will bring about my pity. And I know soon you'll regret your growing rotundity. Perhaps some time with the Pentateuch will make you reconsider. If not an ex parte suit to the judge I will deliver. Now hold on, stop your screaming, don't get delirious. It's just a bit of badinage and nothing serious. Pardon my loquacity, I know I tend to blather. Wow. Perhaps I can propitiate your soul that's in a lather. I never had the probity, I admit that I'm at fault. But when you continue to stickle on this, it feels like an assault. Now, if you've listened all the way through my peroration, congratulations, Paula, it's a lengthy illumination. These silly little lessons of someone who was yearning will illustrate your vocab words and accelerate your learning.
Wow. 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 Wow.
I didn't realize that we'd had that many words. That was phenomenal.
Alyssa Yeager, we love you.
Yeah.
We just love you. You have a bar of autographed hotel soap coming your way, and I might throw an autograph on the back of it if you bring it my way, Paula. She's earned two autographs.
That was fantastic. Yeah, and Scott Franciscus will see that the postage is paid.
Oh, good God. No,
he's
he won't.
Our benefactor.
He is not.
He pays for a lot of the stuff on
that
our
was
show.
Wonderful. You see, the thing about Alyssa's song is that anybody could learn to sing that song if they so chose.
Yeah. Just like mine. That's one of the things me and Alyssa
exactly
have in common.
Exactly dissimilar to yours.
No, that was fantastic, Alyssa.
It really was.
Thank you so, so much. Was Soporific in there? Did she miss Soporific?
She got it in there.
Oh, jeez.
Coming up, James Thurber said, I used to wake up at 4 a.m. and start sneezing, sometimes for 5 hours. I tried to find out what sort of allergy I had, but finally came to the conclusion that it must be an allergy to consciousness. We welcome Dr. Mark Meth to explore sneezing, coughing, and whether we're sick or just allergic to consciousness. That's when we return on Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone. Hey, everybody. As longtime listeners know, when Helix Mattresses first started sponsoring our show, Bonnie Burns somehow got the drop on me and made off with the first mattress. But in the intervening years, I have gotten myself a Helix mattress. I've had it for almost a year now, and it has improved my sleep. It has improved my life. I could not be happier. The Helix lineup offers 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux Collection, which I have, the newly released Helix Elite Collection, which is a mattress designed just for big and tall sleepers, and they even have mattresses made just for kids. Now, if you're like me and you were a little nervous about trying it online, or like Paula, who was screaming in fear of buying a mattress online, don't be. The Helix Sleep Quiz takes into account your individual sleep preference to match you and your partner with the perfect mattress. I took the quiz and I ended up with the great mattress for a side sleeper, the Helix Midnight Lux. Take my word for it, everybody. The Helix Midnight Lux.
Oh, don't want to take Adam's word for it. I don't blame you. Helix has been awarded the number one mattress picked by GQ and Wired magazine. It's even recommended by multiple leading chiropractors and doctors of sleep medicine as a go-to solution for improving your sleep. Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners.
Go to helixsleep.com/Paula. That's helixsleep.com/Paula and use the code HELIXPARTNER20.
This is their best offer yet, and it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now.
Paula, I invited you over, but you fell asleep. HelixSleep.com/Paula, and if you're going to do it anyway,
use our code.
Wow, welcome. We're back. Steve, that was interesting. That was a Nintendo song. I'm going to go with Super Mario Brothers 2.
Oh, that was I saw the Witch Doctor, you know. Ooh, ee, ooh, ah, ah.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
I'm completely wrong.
You're what?
I was completely wrong as to what he was playing.
Yo, back up. Say that again.
Which one?
Oh, yeah. Adam.
Oh. I thought he was playing the theme to Super Mario Brothers 2.
And so you were
wrong.
Oh, I see what we did there.
Wow, you're not going to forgive me for that Opsimath thing anytime soon, are you?
No, no,
I don't think you're late in life, Paula.
No, I'm not. That's my point.
Yeah.
That's my point.
I mean, I guess that's something that's always defined in retrospect anyway, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. In retrospect.
Any of us might be late in life right now.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
Especially on Miranda Street. Yeah. All right, now, Paula, you had a bad cold over the holidays.
I did. I had a cold, and then, my daughter had a cold, and then she got rid of it, and then I got it, and then I got rid of it, and then she got it, and then I got it. And I don't even know what a cold is.
Oh, okay. Well, we have someone here who can answer the question. Dr. Mark Meth is a board-certified allergist at Century City Allergy. He's been named to Southern California's rigorously selected list of super doctors multiple times and serves on the board of the Los Angeles Society of Allergy, Asthma, and Clinical Immunology. Please welcome back our buddy, Dr. Mark Meth.
Oh,
don't kiss
Mario.
That to me now. It's too late. It's too late. Dr. Meth, welcome back to our show.
Thank you. It's a pleasure
you
to
are,
be here.
You are one of my favorite doctors on this show.
I appreciate that. Probably the only one, but I appreciate that.
We've had other doctors.
Oh, we've had a few doctors. I can't believe you haven't heard about that.
But
and you're, what's that group that you're a super doctor? You're a super doctor?
Something like
that. The hell is that? Do you wear cape? Be honest.
Yeah, it's red.
Yeah.
It's pretty
red
cape.
Okay.
Yeah, right under the white coat, though.
Oh, so no one really knows.
I don't want everybody to see it.
It's just a good feeling.
It makes me feel good when, when I wear it.
It's just for having a good feeling. Yeah.
Let's start with Paula's cold.
Here's a question that I have long had. At what point is a cold contagious? I've heard, by the time you have symptoms, it's not contagious, some people say.
Yeah, usually the first few days
The first
of a cold,
few days. That's very unspecific.
Well, let's go 3 to 4. How about that?
You think 3 to 4.
Yeah, but how do you identify the first day? Is that the first day you have symptoms?
Yeah, the first day that you have symptoms.
Okay, so that's when it becomes contagious.
Oh, God, this is very specific questions here, but I mean...
You seem upset that I'm asking you questions about medicine.
Yeah, I would
super
say
doctor
it's at the very start of having symptoms, like when you start to have a sore throat.
Okay. Now, let's talk about Paula's cold. Now, is it just the kind of thing that you can just ping-pong back and forth between her and her daughter? Is that what's happening?
The likelihood is that they both had different colds, and I've seen a bunch of people have 2, 3, 4 colds almost consecutively this winter. It's been really bad.
Oh, okay.
So does each cold have different, is it a different set of germs? Is it
correct.
A different kind of cold?
They're different viruses. Okay?
Oh, different viruses.
And the common cold, there can be several hundred different viruses that can represent the common cold. The most common type of cold is called a rhinovirus, but there can be several different types of rhinovirus.
Because rhinovirus just means like a virus in your nose,
virus
right?
That correct. That's a rhino gets.
No, it has nothing to do with that.
No, it is correctly wiped out.
I think we went over this when Dr. Meth was here last time.
I don't remember.
We identified.
He has
your
a funny
cough.
Look on his face. Like apparently, rhinovirus is one of the things he just says automatically.
I actually know about 10 words, and
somebody breaks their leg, and I think that could be a rhinovirus right there.
There's also coronaviruses that cause the common
coronavirus?
Cold.
Coronavirus?
Yeah, head cold. God, you're good. Latin scholar over here.
What do you mean a head cold? What's
corona? Crown?
What's the difference between? No, a coronavirus is passed
several
through beer.
Different types.
No, it is not passed through
it's when
beer.
It's in the beginning of Jaws when they were sitting around the fire and they were passing around the beer.
And then they all died of a contagious shark bite?
No, that's what killed her.
The woman who got eaten by the shark?
In the ocean, yes. But it was, she died from the coronavirus that she had gotten from passing that beer around.
There's
and then
not
the
even
shark
a part
got
of
blamed.
That I want to deal with.
The shark
none
was,
of it.
The shark was unfairly
Dr.
blamed.
Dr. Meth, so Paula probably caught a cold.
Correct.
Then emerged from that. Do we emerge immune from that particular virus
from
when
that
we get over
strain,
it?
Yes.
So her
after
daughter
you
happened
get
to get a cold,
kind?
Or maybe
knows?
Hers?
Yeah, or the daughter could have gotten her cold, or the daughter could have had a separate cold and gave Paula back that new virus. So,
but in general, every time you get a cold over a winter, it's a different virus.
Yes, you should
really.
Because
then
you're
immune.
Correct.
To the last kind?
Your body mounts an immune response, and you have specific type of antibodies that should prevent you from getting sick from that specific strain. It's like any time that you have, once you get chickenpox, kids now don't get chickenpox anymore because they get a vaccine. But
sure.
If you've had chickenpox before, you don't get. You can be around people with chicken pox, and you're not going to get chicken pox again. Now, you
yeah,
can
but how much fun is
can,
that?
You can get shingles or whatever,
people
but,
with
but you're not
pox.
Getting actual chicken pox because you've become immune to it.
So if I, how many viruses did you say there were?
Oh, there can be hundreds that cause the common cold.
Say at the beginning of 2020, for example, say I get a cold tomorrow. Say I get like a few hundred colds. Like every day I get another cold in 2020.
Hopefully not.
Couldn't that be a good thing? Because wouldn't that mean that for years I won't get another cold because I've had them all?
First, I'd be a little worried if you got a cold every single. There was something wrong with your immune system if you.
Oh, if you're getting a cold. Yeah, but there's several hundred kinds, a different kind every time.
Yeah, but still, that you would be that susceptible to getting colds every single day, that would be highly unusual. But there's always new strains and new things coming along, so
it's like fashion.
It's like influenza, right? I mean,
right.
You know, there's different strains every year.
Are you more vulnerable to catch a cold when you're recovering or have just recovered from one? Like, is that what was happening in Paula's household?
Yes, yeah,
her immune system was compromised, like we say.
Definitely plausible. Do I know that for sure? No, but just plausible.
Well, you should.
I know. I should know
right.
everything.
So you don't get the same cold again. So one of my questions was, can you get a cold?
Well, the other thing is sometimes people think that they're over something or they might feel better for a day or two and they're really not. Or they could get a cold and feel slightly better and then it becomes a sinus infection, so they have persistent symptoms. So,
okay.
You know, there's different permutations.
Oh, yeah. It's the permutations you got to worry about. So
that could be a new word of the day.
Could you get a cold like from yourself? You couldn't because it was the same kind you just had.
What does that mean that you could get a cold from yourself? And what are you doing to yourself to get yourself that cold?
I spend a lot of time with myself. I travel alone.
Can she pick
Please
up
indulge
a toothbrush
Raj.
That
right.
has some of her cold on it? And brush your teeth with a cold infected toothbrush.
No, you can't like infect yourself with the own same virus that you gave yourself. No. Uh-huh. No.
Yeah.
No.
All right.
No. Your face tells me that's a ridiculous notion.
No, it doesn't seem like
you can have
ridiculous.
Viral particles like hang out on a toothbrush for, you know, a couple of days. And if somebody else used that toothbrush.
All right. Now you've gone too far.
That hasn't had that virus. Then,
yeah. Then they could get. No, yeah. I don't share my toothbrush with others. You know. Dr. Meth, I'm sure you make a fair amount of money. A toothbrush is a couple of bucks.
Easy right? there, Bob.
It's a couple of bucks for a toothbrush. Why on earth would you use someone else's toothbrush?
I get all my toothbrushes for free when I go to the dentist. They're always giving me those free toothbrushes. But yeah, I think the average toothbrush is, a couple dollars.
Yeah, they're just a couple. How often do you go to the dentist? You're supposed to change your toothbrush
every 3 months.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. He has great teeth.
Yeah, you do have really nice
I appreciate
teeth.
It, but they're always, you know, tell me to floss. And if you don't floss enough, they want you back there every like 3 months.
No, I think you might be being scammed by your dentist.
No, because doctors
he's in it for the free toothbrushes.
Honestly.
Doctors like we don't make the greatest of patients. Like, you know, other doctors tell us to do things and we're not.
So my dad was a terrible patient.
So you're using other people's toothbrushes and you're not flossing? Is that what you're confessing?
No. I'm
here?
Using free toothbrushes from the dentist. And,
you know
but
why
it's not like
free?
The dentist is holding handing him his old toothbrush.
Yeah, no, you right. know why they're free? Yeah, because he gets them. From used.
Months.
How about your cat question? Let's go to your cat question. Because this will be an easy one to shoot down.
This is, all right. I know you're ready for this. Have you ever used my cat's toothbrush?
That's not the question.
It's very small.
No.
And I sneeze every time I use it.
Years ago, my cat Baloo had a cold. And she sneezed right in my face. I said, Jesus, it was right in my face, Baloo. She said, yeah, wait. So my cat did sneeze in my face one time, and then I got a cold. Can you get a cat's cold?
No.
I knew that would be easy. All right.
Next.
Why not?
Because, you can't get cats colds. They have different kinds of viruses that bother cats and bother dogs.
So
and,
they are not bothered.
They infect them. Sorry, not bothered. Infected.
Bothered, yeah.
Bothered, whatever.
Yeah.
I like the way you express your exasperation with some of these questions.
So
Dr. Meth, answer the phone.
No.
Answer the phone, Dr. Meth.
So,
no, I will not answer the phone. I refuse.
So
she never. She won't stop.
He's not one of those on-call doctors.
I'm an allergist. What do you think?
So wait, now I just don't understand. Why is he? You seem to believe it's obvious that you couldn't get a cat's cold. Because they have
Maybe
different
it's not
viruses.
Obvious. I went to medical school.
I don't think it's obvious. Do you remember Do you remember when the professor stood in front of the class? He said, how many people here think that you could get a cold from a cat?
No. Remember that day in medical school?
I must have missed that day.
Everybody but you raised their hand. Do you remember that? It's not obvious.
I missed that.
And you sat back on your sanctimonious haunches. And no one thinks you can get a call from a cat.
Now he's sanctimonious and has haunches.
Let's move on to our next thing. Paula has these terrible allergies.
I'm sure you've heard of terrible allergies.
Yeah. Vasomotor rhinitis.
Vasomotor rhinitis.
Yeah.
I thought you specifically said that we could not get the same thing as an animal gets, and now you think I have the same vasomotor that a rhino has. We can't get the same thing.
It's rhinitis, which means
it's
inflammation of the nose.
Yeah, inflammation of the
inflammation
nose.
Inflammation of the nose.
Yeah.
Huh. Well.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, but it's not.
So how
my
is that
nose
different?
Isn't inflamed. I just cough.
How are her allergies different from a cold?
How are anybody's allergies different from a cold? Sure, and they get mixed up amongst my patients very frequently. I think one of the...
Now you're dissing your patients.
Patients out there, I love you.
He seems to think you assholes can't tell a cold from an allergy.
Let him answer the question.
Sorry, go ahead.
First of all, usually...
My mistake.
Certain times of year, viruses and colds are more common than allergies. So the winter time... Usually, and I get people often saying, you know, that when the seasons change, I get my allergies come. But the problems with the seasons changing is often that that's the fall and that's early spring. And that's when kids are going back to school, either from after the summer or after like spring break. And then they're all together. And that's when they're tending to get sick. But in terms of the actual symptoms that are different, usually if somebody has a cold, they usually don't feel well often. They will have a sore throat that you won't usually get with allergies. Mm-hmm. And then their discharge is usually yellow or green as opposed to clear. Now, you still can be, obviously, both things.
That really depends on what outfit you're wearing.
That's true.
Does it?
I mean, the similarities are the congestion and the sneezing.
Yeah.
And you can have some itching of your nose even with a cold, but really sort of the feeling, not feeling well, the sore throat. The other thing that always is a dead giveaway for me is if somebody has laryngitis, you know, problems with their voice, that's a cold. That's not allergies.
Uh-huh. You know, I was just thinking about how you're an allergist and you keep going to the dentist every 3 months. And getting
that's
this
what you got out of this,
toothbrush.
Okay.
Trying to give a plug to my dentist.
And I was wondering, do you give your patients like little travel Kleenex packets?
I do not. But
That could be a nice thing.
But we do have samples that we give them.
You have samples? Samples
of like
of
allergy
what?
Medicines?
Of allergy medications or inhalers or...
Well, that's medicine.
Creams for their eczema or stuff like that.
Oh, boy, that's a stocking stuffer.
There you go.
Well, if you have eczema, it is.
Yeah.
Is that an allergic thing? Eczema is not an allergic thing, is it?
It is. So I always tell people eczema is a skin problem that people with allergies are prone to.
Okay.
So it's in the allergic family of diseases.
We learned such interesting things when we let our guests talk.
Yeah.
All right, you had a question about emergency and stuff like that.
I have not coughed this much with any other guest. Is there a possibility that you put out something that gives people
are you an
allergy
irritant?
Symptoms?
Yeah, just so I get more business.
That's exactly how they get you.
Yeah.
It's all like those evil Western medical doctors, right?
Well,
do you like grow a lot of wildflowers right outside your office?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Actually, we bring in cats and dogs every morning to the office for like an hour before I show up.
And then
it's amazing.
Yeah.
Roll around in a ragweed patch out back.
Yeah. And then a little sprinkle of pollen. You know, just the other day, my kickboxing teacher was telling me about how
he takes
some, you know, some, I forget what it was, like emergency or something, like right when he feels the symptoms coming on. And this, you know, and then in a few days, his cold is over. Is there really anything that you take that stops a cold?
No.
Okay, so all that stuff that people swear by, whether it's emergency or
they've
airborne,
always got some
tea and
thing,
honey.
You know,
if you find the cure, I always tell my patients, if you find the cure or you know of the cure to the common cold, we will make a ton of money together because there is no cure for the common cold. We have a lot of things that help people's symptoms.
Right.
You know, tons of over-the-counter meds that help people's symptoms. But do we have a scientifically proven medication or herb
that
or
nips
supplement
a cold in the bud.
That has been scientifically proven better than placebo, because that's always the standard that you're judging it by,
right?
That's better than placebo. We don't.
Okay. Now, let me ask you something. How long have you been a doctor?
I graduated from medical school 16 years ago.
16 years ago.
Uh-huh. Crazy.
How many days a week do you work?
Five.
Uh-huh. Do you go away for the weekends?
Sometimes.
Yeah.
What is this line of questioning?
It just strikes me that 16 years is plenty of time to cure the cold. Are you really applying yourself?
Well, I want to say a couple of things.
He's a super doctor.
But he's an allergist.
Yeah.
And for two, he's
busy. Well, you always
he's
take
got
his
patients.
Side.
He's not a researcher. I'm taking
that's
his side.
That's the job of like the virologists of the world.
Thank
like, the scientific.
You. Oh boy!
And all the farm.
Yeah, whatever
farm
happened
company?
To the buck stops here? Oh, always pushing it off on the virologists.
Oh, I don't know why anyone. Comes
Do you
on
know
this
any
show.
Virologists?
No.
He's lying. He doesn't want to get into it, so he's just lying to you. All face lying. I can see it.
Virologist.
Is that true? Is there such
well,
a thing as
well,
a virologist?
Yeah, the people that study science, the scientists that study viruses, sure. And
yeah.
They.
Where are they? I've never met one.
No, they're all at the, like research centers or pharmaceutical companies. They've been able to deal with several viruses, right? I mean, we have medications for influenza, which is a virus, right?
Uh-huh.
We have medications for hepatitis B and hepatitis C, which are viruses. We have medications for HIV, which is a virus.
Uh-huh.
But for
we might
some
even have a vaccine now, right?
For some of these things,
yeah. I mean, for HIV,
we don't have it. We don't have a vaccine.
We're testing one.
Have been working their asses off, and you couldn't take a little pressure off of them by working on the cold.
Part of the problem with the common cold is that there's so many different types of viruses.
Yeah.
Hundreds.
If I were to get a cold every day for 365 days, I would be immune then to the cold.
Until there's a new one. There's always a
new
strain.
Yeah, there's always new strains.
Where do they come from, the new strains?
When a cold loves another cold.
That's true.
What,
ask a virologist.
Do they? I've never met a virologist. For 41 years, I've been asking people from stage, what do you do for a living? No one has ever said I'm a virologist.
They probably say they're a doctor.
No.
Or PhD, you know, PhD researcher or whatever.
No.
No.
All right, let's move on then. We'll get a virologist on this show, and you can insult him or her. In the 1970s, Dr. Linus Pauling said that huge doses of vitamin C would cure the cold or help prevent colds. Obviously, you've already answered. This is not true, right?
It hasn't been proven to be
true.
Dr.
Linus Pauling thought it was. Was he a virologist?
I don't know.
Do
you know Dr. Linus Pauling?
A famous scientist.
Yeah.
Is he? Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, he cured something.
Bonnie said, yeah, like, you know.
No, he was famous.
He cured something.
Famous
he cured,
for what?
He cured, I don't know.
He carried a blanket. He had
the vaccine
blanket.
For something. I'm going to go out on a limb and say it was polio, but it probably wasn't.
No,
but he had a vaccine
for
something.
Polio was
Salk.
That was Salk. That was Jonas Salk. Linus Pauling.
Oh, my God, you were wrong again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Twice in one episode.
Jesus, yeah. This must be hell for you.
Not really hard for me at all. No, he cured something.
Why does the body produce mucus when you have a cold? Or as you said, a discharge?
I think that's part of the immune response to help clear it, actually. That basically when you get a virus or you get any irritant in the respiratory tract, it causes inflammation. Mucus is a result, and the body trying to get rid of it produces mucus, and you discharge the mucus, and that's part of the inflammatory response.
Is there any way of telling the body that it's disgusting and it can stop now? Is there any way of retarding the mucus response?
I mean, people take things to try to decrease mucus production, right?
Yeah,
they take
and does it work?
Mucinex.
I take Mucinex. Does it help?
I think it can help somewhat symptomatically. It doesn't. I don't think it decreases the length of the illness that you have, but all of those things, you know, NyQuil, DayQuil, all those things help people feel better while they have their common cold.
Huh. Now, remember...
Hold on just a second. Captain Crinkle, what are you whispering?
No, I'm seeing...
if Tyler's finding out about Dr. Linus Pauling, it can't take this long. He was famous.
So we're still trying to find out if Linus Pauling did in fact cure something. It was
no
Linus Pauling was a household name in my household because my dad hated his vitamin C cure, his vitamin C studies.
No, he said Linus they were bad Pauling science. Carried a security blanket and he had an angry sister Lucy.
That's Linus Van Pelt.
My name's Paula.
Linus Van Pelt.
You just call me Van Pelt.
No, that's Linus Van Pelt.
Charlie Brown?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's not Linus Pauling.
No, she knows that.
She knows that. At least, I think so.
Wait, what just happened here? Oh, my God. All right, so I've just been handed the Wikipedia page for Linus Carl Pauling, and it's not that interesting.
Are you reading during the interview?
I was just handed this by Tony Nidahal.
We've really...
He won the Nobel Prize in chemistry.
Well, congratulations are in order.
He won two Nobel Prizes.
Dr. Meth, I have a question. What about feed a cold, starve a fever? Feed a fever, starve a cold. What is that? Does any
I think
of
those
that...
are like old wives' tales.
Or, uh-huh. So none of those?
I mean,
some of them continue to learn.
Yeah, I don't.
Some of those old wives.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if
they're
there's optimists. I don't know if there's any scientific basis.
You don't
to
think
those.
There's any science? There
not,
was never,
not that I know.
It was not taught
of.
To
no,
a
we,
medical
I didn't,
school.
I, no, that was not a day lecture.
You didn't do like a project
school.
In front of the class on
no,
that.
No, we
you didn't
not.
Have a poster.
No,
I never even understood pointer. What that meant. You feed somebody if they have a cold, but you don't feed them if they have a fever.
Right, and that's which is why help. A lot of people with fevers die.
Quite
in fact,
possible.
If you have a fever, you should keep them well hydrated or they get dehydrated pretty fast.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Okay, so that's something that you should do with a cold, obviously, is hydrate. Anything else? Any other advice?
I just tell people to, hydration is number one, and take things to help them feel better. And I think there are a lot of over-the-counter things that help people feel better, whether it's pain relievers like acetaminophen, which is in Tylenol, or ibuprofen. You can take decongestants, which really help people when they have the common cold. And you can
God,
take
you know that yeah. commercial where the lady, it's a late night commercial on MSNBC, where the lady has a big device and has two prongs, and she shoves
people
it up
people do
her
like
nose.
A lot of nasal rinses.
Like the neti pot.
Yeah, like a neti pot.
It's not a neti pot. It's something else, because she specifically says it's easier than the neti
yeah,
pot.
Yeah, it's sort of
but
a,
I just, do I really need to
like
see someone
nasal,
shove a thing up their nose?
Some people are really big on nasal irrigation. I know. But some people really like it and feel like it helps their symptoms, and I think the studies are somewhat marginal.
What do you mean marginal?
You know, in terms of their benefit, whether that's better than placebo, I think people do get some relief from it.
Yeah.
In terms of allergic symptoms, whether
but enough relief
cold,
to make
I
it worth doing that shit?
I don't know. That's great,
I mean,
that's
if
a good
I was going to do anything, I would just use my dentist's water pick.
I can take the water pick is instead of doing the floss.
Well, the water pick is instead of the floss. I was thinking of it as a
neti
you know,
pot alternative.
Yeah.
You know, that's, I mean, anyways.
Yeah. I was thinking of it from nasal irrigation.
I was going back to the floss.
Yeah, you went back to the floss thing because that's something. So your dentist tells you to floss and you refuse to?
Well.
And so you're back there every 3 months just to get your free toothbrush.
Pretty much. My wife is so good. She flosses all the time. And I wish I had her, like,
so you're like
fortitude to do that.
Just hanging around the house and your wife is flossing. And
she flosses, like, every night. I mean, I brush my teeth twice a day and I... You know, try to do the best with, but I like terms
what
of
mean,
floss.
Try to do the best. You floss.
No,
that's
I don't
part
floss.
Of the best.
And every time the dentist is like, you really should floss. And I'm like, every time.
Wow.
Why are we even discussing this?
It's like the last 30 years of my life that this has been going
You've
on.
You've had
you
a dentist for 30 years.
And I don't
Why
have any cavities.
Why do you go to someone that you don't follow their directions?
Do you floss? Because, follow?
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
Props to you.
Thanks. You know, Dr. Meth, this is not a competition.
No, but I'm just impressed. It's
well, you got to floss, for God's sakes.
Or you go back to the dentist every 3 months.
No, but as a
he's only going to the dentist to get the free...
I highly recommend flossing. It's very good for your gums.
Could a virus be in your teeth? Could you have a virus?
I hope I don't have any viruses.
Yeah,
in my
couldn't
teeth.
You with if you floss? Could you get rid
no,
of a virus?
It gets
virus?
Out like all the bacteria in there that causes cavities. At least that's what the dentist tells me.
Yeah,
that's not viruses. That's bacteria.
Oh, that's different.
We don't. You know, in medical school, the dentists hang out with the dentists, and the doctors hang out with the doctors. It's a
right.
We don't hang out.
And the virologists never hang out with the bacteriologists, right?
That's probably true, too.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know what?
They're like sharks and jets, those
no,
two.
No, the virologists are busy working.
Trying to find the cure. They're trying to find the cure.
You would think that the algae guys could do a little heavy lifting.
Well, it's not really their department, though, is it?
Well, he's answering questions. We had Dr. Meth on.
Yeah. You could have brought a virologist, but you asked for me, and I'm here.
We couldn't get a virologist because they were busy.
They're trying to cure the cold. They can't be out in the middle of the night.
We're researching. We're busy. We called the House of Virologists over on La Cienega.
Yeah.
And they
said... also called... Tony Anita Hall also called virologist, et cetera.
Yeah. And they said... Isn't Dr. Meth free?
He's got nothing better to do.
It's not allergy season.
Yeah, they said if you can get him in between dental visits, he'll make a great guest.
Okay, and on that note, thank you, Dr. Meth, for curing our curiosity about the common cold. Now, Paula, having heard, I would say, at least 10% of what Dr. Meth had to say, what advice can you give our listeners about dealing with a cold?
House band Steve Solomon, could you give me a little background music for my summary of what we learned from Dr. Meth? See, there are hundreds of colds, and you don't get the same one twice, which is why you can't infect yourself. If you live alone, you don't even have to wash your drinking glass. You know your friend who tells you that the minute he feels a cold coming on, he strains lemon juice through the beard from his Fidel Castro costume, mixes it with bee pollen, rubs it on the roof of his mouth with two separate Q-tips, and in 4 days, he's symptom-free? Well, this makes Q-tips happy because you're not supposed to put them in your ears anymore, and so they're struggling. But it does nothing to end a cold. There is no cure. Your cold will go away in about 4 days, whether you climb a tall pine and sit on a branch rubbing hot sauce on your temples or not. Although it's true that you could give yourself immunity to 365 different strains of cold by getting a cold, different one, every single day for a year, Dr. Meth wouldn't like it.
Dr. Mark Meth is a board-certified allergist at Century City Allergy and serves on the board of the Los Angeles Society of Allergy, Asthma, and Clinical Immunology. Thank you so much for being on our show, Mark.
Thank you. You're fantastic.
Love you, Doc. Next up, we open up the listener mailbag and find out we're part of a Nobody's Grindr profile. We're getting sexy. That's coming up right after this. The cat of the week is Tally from Deerfield Beach, Florida.
The spread of misinformation has fueled our cultural divide and increased our collective anxiety about the future. Tackling misinformation isn't a simple task, but it's important. And that's why I'm so excited to tell you about Conspirituality, a podcast that's dismantling New Age cults, wellness grifters, and conspiracy mad yogis.
On the show, a journalist, a cult researcher, and a philosophical skeptic walk into a bar, and the bartender says, no, it's not that old joke. They dive deep into current events, such as RFK Jr.'s involvement in mainstreaming dangerous anti-vax rhetoric. They crowdsource, research, analyze, and dream up answers to the problem with, get this, proven science as their ultimate guiding light.
I highly recommend you check out Conspirituality's fascinating episodes on creating comedy in the MAGAverse with Jordan Klepper or RFK Jr. flirting with body fascism.
And you've listened to a bunch of them at this point, Paula, I know, and you tell me you love it.
I do. They're fascinating, and my favorite part is they use, wait for it, proven science.
And
if there's any kids listening, that's a class we used to take. Proven science as their ultimate guiding light. I love that.
From exploring cults to analyzing our cultural and political landscape, the Conspirituality podcast will help you stay informed about misinformation and help you resist fear tactics. Find Conspirituality on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. According to climate scientists, we have 9 years and 50 weeks until the Earth begins to become uninhabitable. We're back. Paula. You know, we're always interested in hearing from nobodies, aren't we?
Oh, we are.
All the nobodies out there?
Yeah, very interested.
They send us emails and Facebook messages.
Our interest is peaked.
Yes, yes. Our interest has been peaked many a time. And so we want to share some of the feedback we're getting with the world.
Oh, great.
Yes, yeah, so it's time to open up the mailbag. Mailbag. All right, here we go, Paula. Now, this one's interesting because apparently, Paula, we're showing up on a social media platform that we probably would not have thought we'd show up on. Ben wrote us this note. Dear Paula and Adam, who's apparently on every show.
He is. I can vouch for that. On every show.
I just this evening included a plug for one of my very favorite things in my Grindr profile. Fuck them if the cuties have no idea what I'm talking about. There's nothing sexier than sarcasm and hijinks. A lot of exclamation points.
All right. Now, wait. I have to back up a bit. Okay. What's Grindr?
Grindr is a social media dating site. Isn't Grindr gay? I think it's a gay dating site. Isn't Grindr gay? Yeah. Oh. Grindr's gay.
It's dating. It's not the thing where there's somebody near you.
I think it is the thing where there's somebody near you. I don't know enough about Grindr to tell you whether it's a hookup site or a dating site, but it's definitely one or the other.
Adam Feldman, I went on the Grindr website and your face was there. What do you mean you don't know enough about it?
Look, everybody, it's everybody's favorite hand puppet.
It's so good
Mrs.
to be
Culpepper.
With you again. You know, I hoped someday to become an Opsimath.
An
Opsimath.
But you're not an Opsimath right now?
Oh, no, not yet, my friend.
Mrs. Culpepper, how...
How many times do you want to walk into that trap, Adam Feldman?
Well, I feel more confident, given that it seems like the late captain's been gone for quite a while, hasn't he?
Well, he has. He has been gone for quite a while, and I must tell you...
Right, he perished in three wars ago, in battle, right?
A while ago. Not in battle.
I always get that wrong.
No, it was not in battle, although he served honorably in our nation's forces. But it was not in battle that the captain passed, tragically.
Oh, sorry about that.
Tragic death. He had a reaction, Adam, to a food, a particular food. He passed from a thing called tyrotoxism.
Oh, I just heard about that in the themes, in the vocabulary song.
It was a painful reminder in Alyssa's song.
Yes,
Alyssa Yeager's song this evening.
Tyrotoxism is a...
Tyrotoxism is a poisoning from a dairy product or cheese.
Right.
Yes.
And in the theme song, it was a chowder or something, or a cream-based soup.
Oh, it was cream-based soup, but that is not what affected Captain Culpepper.
No.
In fact, he enjoyed a cream-based soup very much, but that is not what killed him.
No?
No, it was not.
It was another dairy product.
It was a cheese, Adam Feldman. It was a cheese.
All right. Well, that's all the detail I need. I don't care what kind of
it
cheese.
It was the Gouda that got him.
I hope our listeners enjoyed that as much as
I did. Since the passing of Captain Culpepper, I have begun to blossom in some ways that the captain frowned on in the past.
Well, yeah, I would think, especially Grindr, which, if I'm not mistaken, is exclusively for gay men.
Well, I was just learning. I was
exploring. And what did you learn, Mrs. Culpepper?
I learned that you are on the Grindr website.
I am not. That is a heinous calumny.
Damnable.
Mrs. Culpepper.
Damnable
calumny.
There's no shame in it, Adam Feldman.
I'm not on there. I'm not on Grindr.
I think there's been more flattering pictures of you for sure.
It couldn't possibly have been me.
I'm still proud to know you. Very, very proud to know you.
Thank you for being this
open-minded. I don't think of it as an opprobrium, Adam Feldman. Not in any way.
No, I don't think of it as a opprobrium either, but I wouldn't be there is my point.
Well?
On Grindr.
See, you knew.
What? No.
I just wanted to join you to let you know that I've seen you on the ground, and that I do not see it as an opprobrium in any way.
I'm glad that you're that open-minded. And,
I am. I would like to see you with a more flattering picture. That is all.
I will. I will go on Grindr and see if my picture is there. But apparently, our website, Paul, are you still in there?
Yes, I'm here. Yes.
Apparently, this guy is plugging. Interesting turn of phrase. It's plugging us on Grindr.
Exactly, Adam Feldman.
Well,
Primrose is on every. He included a plug for one of my very favorite. Oh, I see. So he mentioned us in his profile.
We're in
where
his
you write
profile.
About yourself. You say yeah. I'm a.
And he's
you
saying
know,
he's
a,
saying if those cuties have no idea what he's talking about, he's saying fuck them.
Uh huh. Well, that.
But I think
that's
he means
the goal.
Don't.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's,
there's a lot of.
So he's covered one way or the other.
Exactly.
No, we also got a message
from who?
From Warner.
Okay.
It said this: for some reason, listening to the podcast, I thought the self-portrait on the Tri-Poly Blend shirt was of Paula's left boob. Love the podcast, but highly disappointed. Any chance that could be something for in the future?
Oh, I see. You always talk about your remarkably soft T-shirt with a
It's a remarkably soft Tri-Poly Blend. It's a remarkably soft T-shirt because it's made from a Tri-Poly Blend.
Which it isn't. But the part that you go on that's indisputable is that it's got a self-portrait on the left breast.
Self-portrait on the left breast. He apparently,
he thought it was a self-portrait of the left breast.
Although I've never used the word boob in my entire life. It's
well, now
it's,
you have.
Yeah, that word has always bothered me.
Why?
I don't know. I don't know. It's gross. it's a breast. It's okay. You know, a boob is an idiot, and I don't have an idiot hanging on
well,
the front
it's,
of me.
It's not brilliant. It's managed to get itself pierced by a cat twice in the last year.
No, that's the nipple.
Not part of the breast?
Part of the breast. Exactly.
Okay.
So Warner's asking if that could be something for the future.
A likeness of your breast on the breast of your T-shirt.
I think I can answer that, Warner. Absolutely not.
Absolutely not, Warner. I saw that one coming.
Yeah.
All right. Now, Rhonda asks, are Mac LaPierre and Captain Crinkle related?
Answer the phone, Adam.
It's Mac LaPierre, actually. I don't want to answer the phone, Paula.
Adam, answer the phone.
I don't know. Hello?
Hey, Adam, it's me, Mac LaPierre. My friends call me Mac and Cheese because I'm from Wisconsin. But it doesn't bother me. It doesn't bother me at all. No. Wisconsin's a busy place. You ever come to Wisconsin, Adam?
I've been to Wisconsin, Mac.
Yeah, we've got quite a few stop-and-go lights.
You mean,
it's a busy place. It's a busy place.
You mean traffic lights?
Traffic lights. Stop-and-go lights. People think we're all beer, but we got coffee shops where people sit and talk.
Okay,
Mac. You seem tense, Adam. You seem tense.
I'm trying to figure out why you're calling, Mac.
Do you walk with the Lord, Adam?
Do you
walk with the Lord?
I absolutely don't.
Okay, well, that could make you less tense if you
now,
walk
when you say
with the
walk
Lord.
Walk with the Lord, Mac.
Do you walk with the Lord?
You say walk with the Lord a lot. What do you mean?
Do you walk with the Lord? Do you
mean like cook Asian food in peanut oil?
No, that's walk.
Okay, and you're asking me if I
walk with the Lord.
And what does it mean to walk with the Lord?
You know.
No.
He walks with me and he talks with me.
So there's an actual anthropomorphic deity that walks with you.
With
feet.
Yes. Do you walk with the Lord?
I don't.
Well,
do you?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Oh, yes. It's not all beer in Wisconsin.
All right, mac and cheese.
Yeah.
So the question is...
It doesn't bother me when people call me that.
That's good, because I like doing it.
Well, I am not, by the way, related to Captain Crinkle.
That's what I wanted
not
to ask.
Not in any way.
I don't know why anyone would wonder that.
It's a weird question.
Because Captain Crinkle is Paula's manager, Bonnie Burns, who...
Bonnie! It's Bonnie Burns.
Bonnie Burns. What
Bonnie
did I say?
Bonnie Burns. Bonnie.
What do Chinese people cook in?
Wok!
Okay. And what do you do with the Lord?
Wok! You see the difference?
I do not.
It's subtle. It's very, very subtle.
All right.
Guys, you ever come to Wisconsin?
I've been there. I think I told you that earlier in this same phone call.
You've been to Wisconsin?
I have been.
What'd you do when you were there?
I did a Wait, Don't Tell Me in Madison.
Oh, that's a fun show.
Thank you, Mac.
That's a fun show. I really enjoy.
I really don't. Can we not chat anymore, Mac, you and me?
Well, I gotta go.
Okay, I thought you might. I thought you might. Thanks for calling, Mac.
I got other people to talk to.
Okay. You know, go talk and walk with them, would you?
All right. I gotta
I got to whack with the Lord. All right, we'll see you, Adam. I'll give you a call again soon.
All right, bye, Mac. All right, David in Orlando wrote, I take offense to Paula saying she doesn't understand how people can live in Florida when she used to live in Orlando and spent the days touching people's eggs.
I spent the nights touching people's eggs. I take umbrage to that.
What are we talking about here?
I used to work at the International House of Pancakes.
That's right.
In Orlando, Florida.
Right.
11 at night to 7 in the morning.
Okay.
And when people would be rude to me, I would touch their eggs. That's a true story. I'd flip them over with my hands in the back a couple times with my hands.
With your hands?
Yeah. Which is why you want to get over medium or over hard.
Wow.
Yeah. The over easy.
That's like full of Paula germs.
Yeah, exactly.
That's how you get your... What if they didn't order eggs?
I had to do something else.
or here's some eggs, compliments of the chef.
Yeah, we'd like you to have these eggs. I told you this story, I'm sure, that I pulled a guy's head out of his overeasies once.
I don't think you told me that story.
Yeah, yeah, a guy.
Is that the whole story?
We worked the bar shift. People, the bars would close and people would come to the IHOP.
Yeah.
And that was the bar rush we had there. And one night a guy passed out.
Drunk.
Passed out drunk in his overeasies.
Okay.
I pulled his head. I saved his life.
You probably did. I mean, I guess you could drown in your overeasies.
Oh, you could drown in your overeasies.
Absolutely.
So, I still don't know how people can live in Florida, but I did work at night, not during the day.
Yeah, your big problem with Florida is that they keep the air conditioning on too high.
Yeah. I think I mentioned that when I was in a hotel room recently, it was 64 degrees, I think I said,
You did say it was significantly too cold.
In the hotel room when I went in the wintertime.
Okay.
It's not good.
All right.
Yeah. It's a waste. It's just a waste.
And although that's our last piece of mail, apparently we received something in the mail you want to talk about?
Oh, yes. I want to thank Ellie Carlson. And Ellie, forgive my lateness, but I want to thank you for the glass balloon clown and Bonnie's glass candy piece. They were beautiful.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
That sounds kind of special. Well, then, yeah, thank you to Ellie Carlson. And thanks to all you nobodies out there for sharing your thoughts. That's it for this week's mailbag. Mailbag. All right. Thank you, Steve. All right, if you have a comment or question, email it to us at nobodylistenstopaulapoundstone@gmail.com. And speaking of hotel soap, Paula, you're going to be out on the road. Where are you going to be performing?
You know, I hate promoting myself. I have the greatest job in the entire world, but that is the part that I really, truly dislike.
And tonight we're going to take that off your plate and just move on. Turning to...
I'll be in Grass Valley, California on February 15th at the Don Baggett Theater. And I'll be in Fresno, California on February 22nd at the Tower Theater. And I'll be in Dallas, Texas on February 29th at the Windspear Opera House at the AT&T Performing Arts Center. That February 29th threw me for a second.
Wow. Why? Oh, because there's only one this year.
Because we don't usually have those.
We have them only a quarter of the time.
Yeah. Yeah. And on January 45th.
Yeah, it does sound weird.
Yeah.
Isn't that, is that Sadie Hawkins Day as well?
I have no idea.
Is that a leap day thing? Sadie Hawkins Day? It's Leap Day. All right.
Yeah. I don't think Sadie Hawkins has anything to do with it. She's a listener.
Is she?
Sadie Hawkins loves our show.
I met her on Grindr. All right. Now, Paula Paula will have at those shows, all of the shows she just named, Poundstone Pussy Pillows available for sale at the events. You can find a complete list of her upcoming performances at the brand new paulapoundstone.com, which has absolutely, certainly launched by this point. And it's fantastic.
Oh, it is fantastic. It looks great. You're going to love it. So that's paulapoundstone.com.
We'll be back right after this.
On this day in unremarkable history, Henry Heimlich said, "Go ahead, gulp your food. I'm sitting right here."
All right, welcome back, all you nobodies. Paula, I don't suppose you have a message out there for any of the nobodies listening?
No, I do.
Oh, you do?
I do.
Wow, that's unpredictable.
Adam, this is our historic episode.
That's true. This is the first manyth we've done.
And critics have raved, not about this show. They've never even heard of this show. But critics have raved about Parasite and Little Women.
Okay.
Be that as it may, as we move into the days when we don't accidentally still write 2019 on our checks, as we move into the body of 2020, I'm hoping more and more people become Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone, the comedy podcast listeners.
I'm hoping that's the case, too.
The best way to attract new listeners is, of course, by word of mouth. Well. One listener telling a friend, coworker, or loved one about how much they enjoy the show.
It is a way.
That's the best way. The problem is that for many people, that can be an awkward conversation. So, as I often do, I've written some simple sample dialogue to break that trail.
I'm going to pretend to be surprised and ask you, what kind of simple sample dialogue?
Well, try this. Listener, we've had a 50% off sale here at the Hello Kitty store, and we sold less than we usually do. See, I think people like to pay full price for Hello Kitty products. Listener's coworker, that's ridiculous. Hello Kitty has no personality.
That's
She's
true.
Printed on every item known to man. I shelve Hello Kitty socks, Hello Kitty pens, Hello Kitty backpacks, Hello Kitty boxing gloves, Hello Kitty toilet plungers. But she has no story.
That's right.
That's the problem with Hello Kitty. She's just Japan's way of exploiting our stupidity. Listener, that's not true. She has a very compelling story. She's five apples tall. She loves to bake cookies and make friends. And she lives in London with her twin sister, Mimi. Talk louder. I've got to step into the back to get more Hello Kitty urns. Listener's coworker.
Urns?
Really? She likes to make friends and she has a twin sister? How come I never heard of Mimi before? What kind of names are Hello Kitty and Mimi? Is Mimi the fucked up sister that the family doesn't like to talk about? Is it Hello Kitty and Meth Head Mimi? Are her tattoos and drug paraphernalia sold separately? Did she get thrown out of the store for stealing? Did some Hello Kitty cock ring come up missing? Shit! Listener, what? Listener's coworker, a bear! Listener, a what?
Jesus Christ.
Listener's coworker, a bear! There's a bear in the doorway of the store! I thought it was that gross guy from the corndog shop at the food court, but it's a fucking bear! What do we do? Listener, is it a brown bear or a black bear? Listener's coworker.
Oh.
What the fuck difference does it make? Listener, it makes a difference. Listener's coworker. I can't tell the difference. Listener, can you get to the Macy's on the other end of the mall? Listener's coworker. Yes, but it's closed.
What the?
Listener, take a Hello Kitty gravestone with you and throw it through the window. Then go to the section with the tights and get a black pair and a brown pair and get back here as fast as you can. Take a Hello Kitty scooter. 3 minutes later, listener's coworker, got them. Listener, great. Hold them up and compare them to the bear. Listener's coworker, it's black. It's a black bear. Listener, okay, put on some Hello Kitty high heels
God
and stand up on a
sakes.
Shelf. Square off towards the bear, look it right in the eye and tell it we're closed. Listener's coworker, we're closed. It worked. The bear left. How did you know to do that? Listener, I've never known how to tell you this before because it felt awkward. See, Adam? But
yeah.
I listen to Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone, the comedy podcast. It's really funny. It gives me a lift that I carry around all during my work week. And there's lots of useful information. Thank you for saving my life, by the way. Listener's coworker. Wow. I'm going to start listening to Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone, the comedy podcast, too. Listener, could you also be more positive about Hello Kitty? Listener's coworker, I don't see how.
Okay.
So you see someone that's working in a Hello Kitty.
Yeah, I want to point out something to you. There's something, this might shock you, but there's something really implausible in your simple sample dialogue tonight.
No.
Yeah.
No, someone could be working in a Hello Kitty.
Yes.
It could be after hours, and they're closing up, and they're talking,
yeah.
And then a bear shows up in the doorway, because you know we're encroaching on bears' environment, and it's natural for bears to come into malls now.
Yeah. I don't think it's plausible that a specialty store like Hello Kitty would be open past a big store like Macy's. That's the only implausible part of the dialogue.
No, they're closing up. The Macy's is already closed.
That would never happen. It doesn't, unless they were, unless they were doing inventory. If they were staying late and doing inventory at the Hello Kitty store.
The mall stores are closed already. When the person, there's no customers coming into the Hello Kitty anymore.
Well, look, if you're in a mall, you know, you've brought down the gate already at that point. Or what I'm saying is it takes a lot longer to close a department store than it does to close a Hello Kitty store. Otherwise, I find your dialogue completely plausible.
It's entirely plausible. And this is just the kind of listener that we want.
Somebody who runs a Hello Kitty store with the coworker.
Yeah.
Now, why is that just the kind of listener we want?
Because we want, you know, it's one listener at a time, Adam.
So it's any listener is your point.
Yes, any listener.
Okay,
yes.
All right. Yeah, exactly. All right, well, that was entertaining, Paula. Remember, you can email us at nobodylistenstopaulapoundstone@gmail.com.
And by the way, if anybody has had this experience, could you please write in? Because Adam doesn't believe me.
Yes, if you know what, you know, running into a bear in a mall and having to run to Macy's to get tights, I find to compare whether it's a black bear or a brown bear, I find entirely plausible.
Yeah.
But if you're in a small Hello Kitty store in a mall and you close before the anchor stores, I mean you close after the anchor stores, I want to hear about it.
It's not really the point of the story, Adam.
That's what I took away from it.
Adam, answer the phone.
I don't want to answer the phone.
Adam, answer the phone.
I was about to do the credits and get out of here.
Adam, answer the phone.
Hello.
Adam, it's me, Winnie Feynman.
Oh, hi, Winnie Feynman. You're like the only person who hasn't called
yet. Oh, my God, I love you so much.
Thank you, Winnie.
I would like to know something about you that no one else knows. It would mean so much to me because I love you so much.
Well, Winnie, I would love to tell you something that...
Who is your favorite Smurf?
I don't have a favorite Smurf, Winnie. I don't like the Smurfs.
But that's not true, because when you were a kid, you used to... I get you. I just... really touches my heart, too, when I think about this. When you were a kid, you used to ask your mother if you could dye yourself blue because you love the Smurfs so much.
No. That never happened, Winnie. That's just something that Paula said.
What's your favorite kind of tree? What's your favorite kind of tree?
My favorite kind of tree?
Whisper it. I want to be the only person who knows. But,
Winnie, this is a podcast. If I whisper it or not, if you hear it, other people will hear it.
Be honest, Adam. How many people listen to this podcast? Go ahead, tell me.
I like palm trees.
Palm trees? Oh, my God.
Which are not technically trees, we learned on this show.
I don't remember that. That is so beautiful. That is so beautiful. Thank you so much. I like pines.
You do, Winnie?
Yeah. Winnie. Adam, it's been so beautiful exchanging tree love with you.
I don't feel like we exchanged tree love, Winnie, but...
I want you to have this crock pot. It was my mother's until I took it from her give it to you.
No, Winnie. Winnie, I'm guessing your mom uses that crock pot quite a lot to make dinner for the two of you, and...
She does. Well, she used to, yeah.
No, don't send me a crock pot, Winnie.
No, I want you to have it.
I don't want to have it. We have one already.
I love you so much. It means so much to me, Winnie, to be able to talk to you about trees and to think of you putting food in the morning and coming back and having a hot meal.
Well, Winnie, that's really nice, but...
it's been good talking to you, Adam. I have to go.
Okay, bye, Winnie.
Bye.
Jesus.
I can see the palm tree swaying.
Once again, our email address is nobody listening. What the hell is with Winnie?
She loves you. I mean, that girl has a thing for you.
Winnie, if you're out there, I'm married, and very happily, I might add.
Adam?
Wait, how are you here, Winnie? You were on the phone.
No, that was me.
Oh, okay.
I was just saying, Adam.
Oh, you had me going. You sounded a lot like Winnie there, Paula.
Yeah, no. And you can find me and Adam on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And you can find my remarkably soft tri-polyblend t-shirt with the self-portrait on the left breast.
There's a picture of your left breast on it?
No, the self-portrait of me on the left breast and the memorable quote on the back at paulapoundstone.com.
That's our show. Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone is hosted by Paula Poundstone and yours truly, Adam Felber. Produced by Paula Poundstone, Adam Felber, Bonnie Burns, Ken Lezebnik, and Tony Anita Hull. Technical direction by Ray Horseman and mixing by Michael Hoagie. Special thanks to tonight's house band returning champion, Steve Solomon. And by the way, Steve Solomon is a songwriter and event pianist. Check out stevesolomonmusic.com to hear his indie pop originals. Also, big thanks to our guest, Dr. Mark Meth.
Yay!
Security muzzle provided by Tyler, the Studio City Behemoth Burke.
Yay!
Transcription services for the show provided by TranscribeMe. For your special Paula Poundstone discount, use code Paula Poundstone when placing your order at TranscribeMe.com.
That's our show for tonight. Won't somebody please listen to me?
A lot of calls tonight.
Oh my God, so many fans of yours. No one ever calls me.
I have a feeling someone might at some point, Paula. Sometime soon.
Star Fans Audio, a podcast network.